This, then, is the typical product of this record of suffrage. And I think you can see gives the other point of view from what I read from this other book. This is the way it seemed to the Quakers. this is arranged in chapters. Here I am in Somersetshire, Oxfordshire, Nottinghamshire, going backwards, Norfolk, London, and Middlesex. That's a pretty long one. They range by years. Lancashire. They take that. That's up in Margaret Fell's country. This is simply a digest. The manuscript material is often richer and fuller. It has, for instance, more cases of the persecutors' misfortunes very often. I was reading only the other day from Lancashire, where a man named Phineas Pemberton, who came to this country with William Penn, and his children are ancestors of a very important Quaker family in the time of the American Revolution. Phineas Pemberton went to a meeting against the law. Of course, he was arrested and fined. He didn't pay his fine. They never did. Then they went and took goods. And taking goods, they always be sure that they took plenty to cover the difference. For a shilling fine, they could take £4 worth. They took from Phineas Pemberton a cow, and they nearly always wrote down the price of the cow. Pounds, shillings, and pence, £4 and something, I forgot the detail. That's what they did to punish Phineas Pemberton. But the manuscript account goes on to say that the cow would neither drink water or eat hay or yield milk. And after a week, the man that had the cow in custody turned it loose and came back home. I think you see why they told that, don't you? Not just out of sheer spite against the persecuted. Oh, no. No. To show that the wickedness was overruled by a higher power. Don't you see? And therefore, I don't like to dwell on those rather unattractive things. Here's Phineas Pemberton again. This may be the cow, for all I know, it didn't mention. Phineas Pemberton, for himself and wife, being at the said meeting, a forbidden meeting, had goods taken from him to the value of £4, 15 shillings, and fourpence. In order to convict the persons that were met at Bolton, that is, they'd taken a lot of prisoners, Phineas is only one mentioned here, the justices, the informers, and the witnesses at the said meeting with the attendants ate and drank in one afternoon as much as cost 50 shillings. These people collecting money didn't mind how they spent it. You see, here is a bevy of officials arresting the Quakers, and they just list this here. And the constable engaged to pay for it. He would get the profits, of course, from these fines. Thomas Russell, an under bailiff, was so drunk that he was found in the street wallowing in his vomit. About 3 o'clock in the morning, sometime afterwards, he died suddenly. Well, he would, wouldn't he? In the month called May, Richard Cuffin, for a meeting at his house in Bickerstaff, was fined £20, and John Bispham also was fined £20 for preaching there. Roger Harsness and Richard Beasley, for being the same meeting, were fined each 8 shillings. On the 9th of November, as James Harrison was preaching at a meeting in his own house, James Harrison, by the way, also came to America and was William Penn Stewart, the man that, Pensbury up on the Delaware, he was the man that lived there as the caretaker of that property later. But this is 1679, 3 years before Pennsylvania was settled. He had an easier time when he came to America. some ways to be. Well, this is merely a sample of the literature of suffering. Of course, they didn't wait to 1783 to print all these, 1753, but a great many little pamphlets were published, local pamphlets, the sufferings of the Quakers in Norfolk, the sufferings of the Quakers in the town of Carlisle. So there must be, we must have over here hundreds of pamphlets in the library, little quarto pamphlets of this sort. This was the kind of experience that they recorded. I try to deal with this objectively as one should, and not in any partisan way. The Quakers must have been awfully difficult people to handle. Just as today, I have very great sympathy with the officers of the law that have to do what they do. I was once in a court in California when conscientious objector was tried, and I certainly felt sorry for that judge. There was nothing else he could do but convict him, commit him to prison. He said to me afterwards, "I feel like Pontius Pilate." Obviously a sincere fellow. These Quakers, if you looked at them, were sincere. And many of them they were not revengeful. In spite of what I say, this was done to convince the Quakers that God was on their side. It wasn't done out of spite to the persecutors, on the contrary. And we have some very interesting stories of a great friendliness of the Quakers, let's say, to their jailers. Jailers became Quakers because they had entertained Quakers in their jails. And their wives became Quakers, although many of the wives were deadlier than the husbands in the treatment of the Quakers at first. And on the other hand, the Quakers were very decent towards their persecutors often, gentle to them. And if they had something on a persecutor that was legal, I mean, if they had they could have brought to trial a jailer for maltreatment, they didn't do it. They let them alone. You read that in Fox's journal several times, where he just wouldn't act revenge. This is not a redeeming feature, but it's a slight redemption of the whole very unpleasant situation. Now then, may I again, for purposes of identification, take the roll and use your hands. Darnell is here. Delolio, absent. Cook is here. Elms here. Hoganauer.